Good morning and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network, where each week we study the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we're going to be, as we continue our look at what we're calling a period of great deeds amidst opposition, we're going to be in Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 14 through 29 as Jesus heals a demoniac boy. Let's go right to our text, Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John, Jesus finds the other disciples caught up in a controversy, as we see in verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. So they are surrounded by a multitude and disputing with the scribes. The controversy apparently involved a failed attempt to heal a deaf-mute boy. The boy, since childhood, had been prone to seizures. The boy's father desperately wanted him healed, but the disciples of Jesus had not been able to heal him. The account of this miracle is one of the most detailed of the gospel accounts. This miracle has great application for us, but also it is one that we can misapply very easily. Let us take a look at this great event today. First, we see the failure of the disciples. He finds them caught up in controversy. Again, back to verse 14, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?'" It appears related to their inability to heal a man's deaf, mute son. Verse 17, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.'" Now notice verse 25, "When Jesus saw that the people came running to him, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.'" Now back to verse 19, we see that Jesus rebukes his disciples for their lack of faith. "He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.'" As the boy is brought to Jesus, he has a demon-induced seizure. Verse 20, "Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth." The father describes how this has happened often since childhood. 21, "So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him into both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" The father begs for compassion if Jesus can help. Verse 22, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" So a very chaotic scene is here. The disciples' frustration and the father's emotions are very evident. But then let's notice the success of our Lord and Savior. Jesus responds to the plea of the father in verse 23. "Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" If the father can believe, all things are possible. The father professes faith and begs for more faith. As the crowd presses in, Jesus heals the deaf, mute boy. 25, "When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." So the demon is cast out with a great convulsion, leaving him as if he were dead. Jesus takes the boy by the hand, lifts him up, and the boy arises. Jesus then privately informs the disciples as to the reason for their failure to heal the boy. 28. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So Jesus explains the need for prayer in a case like this. Many of the ancient manuscripts add the need for fasting as well. The incident ends up with a quiet teaching opportunity for his disciples. The record of this miracle provides insight as to the role of faith, prayer, and even fasting. But we must be careful in how we understand what Jesus is teaching. So let's take a few minutes now to look at our application in this passage. The lessons are, we need to avoid misapplication. It can be very easy to take Jesus' words out of context. Especially, all things are possible to him who believes, which some have taken literally without exception. This gives many people a false hope and destroys their faith in the process. Now let's consider our context. All things are possible, but they must be within God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. For example, we have Jesus when he was in the garden in chapter 14, verses 35 and 36. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Remember that Paul had his thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 speaks of this. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me.'" As one brother put it, all things are possible, but they must be on the menu. Some things are not possible when asked improperly, such as when asked for selfish and sinful reasons. James chapter 4, verse 3, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Such as when asking for what is outside of God's will. Remember 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Jesus' words presume God's permission and our obedience. We see some great principles for us in this passage today. We see the great importance of faith. Faith cannot be underestimated. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Matthew 8 in verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. In Matthew 9 in verse 22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Such faith as this grows through the word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is certainly helped by prayer. As we noted in verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But responses to faith are always subservient to God's will. For example, Paul's thorn in the flesh that we looked at. But oh, the great power of prayer. Our faith, while important, is not always sufficient. God must be involved. For only with him are all things possible. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Thus at times faith must be joined by prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But also our response to prayers are subservient again to God's will. 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We see a role for fasting in our text. Fasting was often joined with prayer to incur God's favor. Think back to Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek him from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayers. Fasting also served to humble oneself before God. 35th Psalm in verse 13 says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. The 69th Psalm in verse 10 says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. Such humility is more likely to incur God's favor. Notice Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Also, Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Thus people often serve God with fasting and prayer. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, we see the results of this. Concerning Anna. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this was a woman, was a widow, of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Consider Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Faith, prayer, and fasting working together can accomplish more if it be God's will. So let's consider now, as we wrap things up today, many have misconstrued the words of Jesus when he said, If you believe, you will receive the prosperity gospel. Some have misapplied, if you conceive, you can achieve it, the power of positive thinking. But they fail to take Jesus' words in the overall context of the Bible. For then we understand that what we seek must be in keeping with the Lord's will. What we seek must not be for selfish purposes. But on the other hand, there are many people that do not fully appreciate the importance of faith in God. Many do not appreciate the power of prayer to God and the role of fasting in service to God. But with the aid of the Word of God, we can know better what is in keeping with His will, and then we can make better use of our faith, our prayers, and our fasting. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope our time has been beneficial to you, and you have certainly encouraged me by being here today. If the Lord wills, we'll meet again next week at this same time as we continue our study of the life of Christ right here on Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day.